G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of Saturday, January 27 and indeed Friday, January 26th, a long weekend. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual is Joel Marshall. And Joel, plenty of interesting racing taking place over Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, always an intriguing weekend this weekend. Well, whenever Australia Day falls, really, that's when the Blue Diamond Preludes tend to be run and falls next to a weekend this year. So we have the Preludes on the Saturday and they're really certainly looking forward to those two. A couple of the fields, they've come up sort of from the smallish side, but obviously some quality to go around. And the feature Friday night race has come up with only just the six runners in the Australia Stakes. A bit disappointing, smallish field, but sort of the trend for that race.
It has been, and as you say, small fields on Saturday. I guess a few trainers and owners might have been scared off by the predictions of near 40 degree heat for Melbourne, which apparently have now been toned down. So the meeting is, as far as we know anyway, as we go to air, is starting early, but just going to be a rather pleasant 33.
Yeah, so not too bad at all. And I think, Friday's forecast has come down a bit as well, but Sunday's, I think, remains at around the 39-40. But, yeah, Saturday should be nice and pleasant with an early start. And I think Morfordville have brought their meeting to an earlier start too, so it'll sort of work in close to one another. Of course, there was going to be a twilight meeting, but plenty of heat over the border in SA as well, so they've brought their meeting forward.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, we'll go in chronological order, starting on Friday night. And as you mentioned, the feature on Friday night, the Group 2 Carlton Draft Australia Stakes, has only attracted the six runners and will be dominated by the resuming last start Everest placegetter Brave Smash for Darren Weir and Craig Williams, to the extent that the club has not even included it in the quaddie.
No, and that has prevented Brenton Abdullah from making the trip down. He was booked to ride Mr. Sneaky. He rode him in the Rupert Clark, and he was all set to come down after fulfilling engagements at Warwick Farm. But I think the race was run at I think the race was run at 9:30 last year. But yep, 8 o'clock this year. So Damien Lang takes the ride on Mr. Sneaky, and just the six runners, Brave Smash, as you said, will dominate betting. I think he's around the $1.80 mark, and look, he certainly will be very hard to beat. He was huge first up last prep and then went to Moonee Valley and won. And of course, as you said, went on to place in the Everest. Darren Weir's got a couple of stable mates in the race, both last start winners, but they don't have the quality of Brave Smash. So I think he'll be winning. And I think Mr. Sneaky, if there's probably to be, you know, maybe a late threat, it'll be him, even though he'll get better as he gets over a little bit further. Probably still got a fair bit of upside. I don't think we've really seen the best of him yet, but probably just a watch race for me.
Yeah, so it just looks like one of those wait for age races where there's one wait for age horse in the race, and if that horse turns up, it's all over. Warwick Farm is the venue earlier in the day for racing in Sydney on Australia Day, and the Villiers Pies Australia Day Cup listed race is the feature over 2400 metres. Off-season stayers. Waller has just two of the ten, Joel.
Yeah, it's a bit unnormal for him. But look, we mentioned Brenton Abdullah before. He's staying in Sydney where he will ride Cordero and should be very hard to beat. He's just a progressive stayer coming through the classes. He made it a hat-trick last start, and you know, I think he can go right on with the job. If you're betting early, maybe have a look at race one, Temperado, a horse trained by Peter and Paul Snowden. Had no luck at all. One of the best lasts you'll see first up. He really caught the eye on debut last year. I think he's a nice horse, and if he gets a bit of luck from the gate, around $8 or $9 might to give you a kickstart to the weekend.
Speaking of Brenton Abdullah, if you want to read the second half of Richo's interview with Brenton, pick up your Winning Post this week. We are out normal time Friday morning. It will pay to just ring your news agent and check if and when they are open on Friday, because naturally enough, we've got plenty of Friday form in the book. We've got Mornington and Warwick Farm full form guys during the day, full form guy for Moonee Valley at night, and also fields for pretty much everywhere else. I think there's nine TAB meetings overall on Friday, or in fact, maybe it's nine others, might be actually 12. And we've got our usual great Saturday and Sunday coverage, and we've got fields for Monday and Tuesday. So if it's shelf life you want, it's shelf life you get, as well as all the great reading and entertainment that you're used to from your Winning Post. Still, only $5. Can grab it on Friday if the newsagent's open. So and I'd suggest you get down early, because they may just be opening to deliver papers and so on, and then closing. Caulfield on Saturday. As you mentioned, Joel, intriguingly, we've got the Blue Diamond previews. Now, Blue Diamond winner hasn't featured in these races since Miracles of Life in 2013. There's been four horses over the journey since these races were instituted in 1982 who have won the preview, the Prelude, and the Blue Diamond. Most recent of those was Sepoy, and the others were Bella Spree, Midnight Fever, and in the first year it was Run Rancher, did it? What my research about these found about these certainly over the last 9 years was that the fillies had been a lot easier to predict than the colts. The fillies, 6 favourites in the past 9 years. The colts, no favourites in the past 9 years. In the past 9 years, fillies, 7 last start winners have won the Blue Diamond preview. The colts, there's been only one horse who's, eight of the past 9 have been maidens. That does include first starters. 4 of them have been first starters and 4 maidens. And Sepoy, in fact, was the only colt to have won this race in the past 9 years who has won before. But I've got a feeling, Joel, that it'll be the other way around this time. In the colts division, you'd expect one of the ones that have already won and are indeed last start winners, one of the ones at the top, unless there's something which a few people want to tell you, that there's this Robbie Griffiths thing that hasn't raced before, is a chance. But I would expect that the last start winner might win the colts, and that in the fillies it's more likely to be perhaps the first starter. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I can certainly agree to an extent with that. I have gone for one of the last start winners, number 3, Ollivander, in the colts and geldings division. He's probably a little bit more sort of, lesser rated, you know, under the guard compared to those top two, but he won really well on debut, has the experience at this track, and a recent jump out was very, very sharp, cleared out from his rivals there at Flemington, and he just looks a really natural two-year-old. So I've gone him on top. There is a bit of word about for the Robbie Griffiths-trained debutante, Robe de Fate. I'm not sure how to pronounce it fully, but trialled well with Run Narn back in the spring, and Robbie Griffiths, I think, had 5 horses entered for this race. It's become sort of a real bit of a target race these previews the last 2 or 3 years. He's been there with plenty of numbers, and he's quite often run well with a few horses, but he's only accepted with 1 in this race and 1 in the fillies, so that could be a good sign. I'm going to throw him in for 2nd, and then Run Narn and Longleaf. Well, they're undefeated, 2 from 2. And they're both here off a bit of a break since the spring. So you always just like to see them, how they return. But they've done nothing wrong. But going with 3 from 8, 1 and 2.
I'm with you. 3, Ollivander to beat. 2, Longleaf. 1, Run Narn. And for 4th, I've thrown in 5, Invincible Lad. Had a bit of backing on debut. Not a lot went right, as looks to have come back okay. Race 3, that was race 2, I should have said. Race 3, Ladbrokes Blue Diamond preview for fillies. Also 1,000 metres. It's worth $250 more. They're both worth $150,000. But in that very strange, the mysterious ways that the patent committee moves in, the fillies division is group 3 and the colts is only listed. Joel, what do you like here?
Yeah, well, this race certainly will hold plenty of interest for me. I've had one bet for the Blue Diamond, and it is pure elation. I was happy to get some good odds for her. She shortened right up, and I think she's around $17 for the Blue Diamond, which is a bit ridiculous for a first starter. But if you got on at the better odds, then hopefully she can show up on debut. She trialled in Sydney back in the spring, had a couple of trials. Michael Walker went up for her 2nd trial. Of course, he rides a lot for the horse's owner, Sir Owen Glenn, and she trialled really well in the spring. They put her away and they've sent her down here. She's had 2 jump outs, 1 at Flemington where she was really held on too tightly, and then at Werribee the other day she cleared out from her rival. She Looks a real runner. She's by the hot sire, I'm Invincible. Out of Members Joy, who was placed in a Blue Diamond preview. I think might have run fourth in a prelude and then maybe down the track in the Blue Diamond. Certainly contested all three races. She was a talented filly, Members Joy. So she's got breeding. From what we've seen to date, I think she's got good talent. She's got a good draw. So I'm keen on 10 Pure Elation to beat 4 Ahud. Another I Am Invincible, this one from the McAvoy Yard. We saw her in the spring just fail to catch Long Leaf. So interesting that we see Long Leaf half an hour earlier. We'll certainly get a bit of a guide to that form. In for third, I've put in number 9, the stablemate to Ahud, Lake District Girl. She showed good talent in numerous trials and jump outs back in the spring. So certainly want to keep her very safe. And number 3, Lady Horse Owner. Well, she was a real plunge on debut at the Valley, unseen, but obviously she'd been jumping out well at Cranbourne, and she got the cash beating El Nafa, who's another Tony McAvoy runner, who has since come out and won impressively, so good form lines around her. But no, I think number 10 will take plenty of beating Pure Elation from 4, 9 and 3.
Similar for me, different order for Ahud, although both Ahud and the stablemate Lake District Girl are also in on Friday night, so it'll be...
I think I just read they're both running Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. All right.
I thought he might split them up, but I'm pretty sure they're both going to run Saturday.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm with Ahud to beat 3, Lady Horse Owner, 10 Pure Elation, and for third, another last start winner as well as Lady Horse Owner, and that's number 2, Crossing the Abbey. The other listed race at Caulfield on Saturday is race 8, the John Dillon Stakes. This is a listed event over 1,400, and regular listeners won't be surprised to learn that I am going for the Tasmanian Chahitzi. Very good first up, can win here. What about you, Joel?
Tricky race. I changed my mind a few times, ended up going for number 5, Windspell, just hoping he's up and ready to go first up. He's only won 2 from 20. I guess that's the query. He's yet to win in Australia, but he certainly put together some good performances for the Mick Kent stable back in the spring. Runner-up this track and trip, then went to Flemington, runner-up in a stakes race, and ended up placing in the Cantala. So clearly a gifted galloper, and if he's ready to go fresh, I think he'll run well from $3 for dollar. Just came off a bit of a let-up for the Chester Manifold. Ran well with the big weight. He'll be fitter for that, and Jamie Carr back aboard is a plus. 2 Chahitzi in for third, and number 10, King's Guard for fourth.
Chahitzi, as I mentioned, from that's number 2 from $3 for dollar, 9 Pure Pride, and 5 a Wind Spell. My best was in the 9th at Caulfield. I thought Morton's Fork, the past, the former classic, or Group 2 classic winning 3-year-old, to come good, fourth up. Race 9, number 4 for Godolphin and Craig Williams. And Chahitzi was my value bet, although typical, $4. You?
I made Pure Elation my best, first starter in the Blue Diamond preview. Race 3, number 10. And my value was Necessary. Race 7, number 7 from the Enver Yusufovic Yard. This filly has done a good job in her career to date. Only 3 starts. She's improved with each run. No favours in the running at Cranbourne. That was last week, last Friday night. She sat 3 deep on speed and got the job done really well. Trainer is pleased with her and is happy to back her up. And I believe she's got a bit of a future. And I certainly think on that maiden win, she can progress through the classes. And I think you're going to get a decent price to find out if she can measure up on Saturday.
There's also a black type race at Rosehill Gardens in Sydney on Saturday. It is race 7, the Carrington Stakes. And as with the one in Melbourne, it's a listed race over 1,400. And it sees the Australian debut of a very interesting ex-French horse in George Patton, being kept very, very safe by the bookies, I would have thought, not having started for a long, long time. But you, Joel, like one to beat it and to be your best of the day.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. George Patton, I think they've already backed him from 460 into around 360. So they've taken the 460, which I thought was probably, you know, probably bang on. But look, he, very interesting runner. We haven't seen him for a long time. As you said, he left France, went to Hong Kong, got injured, never raced. His French form is around several top-class Group 1 performers. His trial was excellent, and on the minimum, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. So... look, I've made Lanciato my best, but I am worried about George Patton. Lanciato was really good second up. He's unbeaten now, 3 from 3. Just got into the right race. He dropped 8 kilos, out to 1,400. Rachel King timed her run to perfection. stays down in the weights, and look, I don't think he'll go backwards. George Patton may very well be too classy. We'll find out on Saturday, but look, I'm keen on Lanciato, and I think he'll be really hard to beat. Prized Icon, class runner in for third, and six, Supreme Effort with the Fitness Edge in for fourth.
And your value bet comes up in the last, and you are in sync here with Carl Diorio, and that's number three for Paul Perry, Last Witness, at marked at $17 in your winning post.
Yeah, been a while between wins for this bloke, but he had a pretty decent prep last time in. He was really good second up, went on to finish second in a pair of $100,000 Saturday races, so he went close without winning. His first up run was just a forget run. He was four wide, and how they had to go forward, he ended up fading out of it. Not badly, though. He was only less than three lengths from the winner. He's drawn well. He'll get back off them a little bit, but look, he improved sharply second up last prep, and I think he's over the odds in a race. It's probably a pretty winnable Saturday race for a horse like him.
The Queensland owners and trainers seem to be pretty happy to get out of town on a Saturday, because massive 149 acceptors for the Sunshine Coast meeting, and here too we find a 1400-metre listed race. In this case, the Coastline BMW Sunshine Coast Cup. That is race 9 at the Sunshine Coast. And here, Joel, you and our Queensland man, Peter Lyon, are in agreement about number 10, Dreams Are Plenty.
Yeah, from the John Zilke yard. He's a very talented galloper. Finished top 2, 12 of 17. Came off a break to win at Ipswich last start. It was just a midweek level race. He was an odds-on favourite. He got the job done only narrowly, but it was a good win. He showed plenty of improvement. Big field, so there'll be a bit of pressure, but he should be able to lead and should be able to take plenty of catching. Around $5, I think that's probably right sort of mark. And an open and big field. 5, Torgerson. I think he's the value. He's come up around $18 or $19, I think, in some places. And he's going super. He's off a bit of a freshen here. Yes, he's drawn bad. He'll get back off the pace, but he'll be hitting the line hard. 13, Brazen Moss, is just about ready from the inside gate. He might represent a bit of value as well. And his stablemate, number 1, Most Important. He's going really well this prep after failing to come up in the spring. Just the big weight is against him. But 10 on top from 5, 13 and 1. My best is Yarra Power, which is race 5, number 14, from the local yard of Daryl Hansen, and to be ridden by Jeff Lloyd. Was beaten first up, went to the Magic Millions Country Cup, 1200 metres, gate 16. That wasn't a recipe for success. Back to 1000 metres. Inside gate should be, though, and I think he'll be very hard to catch. And my value's in the first, race 1, number 4, Mirendi. Patience wearing a little bit thin with this bloke, but he gets his chance on Saturday. He was better last time, down in class, hit the line over 1800 at Gold Coast. He gets up in trip to a bigger track, $15. He gets his chance, so one more go with him.
Racing on the Parks track at Morpheville on Saturday, as you mentioned, it's been brought back to finish at 3:41 local time, 4:11 Eastern. Previously carded as a twilight meeting, and I imagine that the weather forecast is still pretty stinging hot for Adelaide on Saturday, and certainly the owners have been a bit cautious. They've stayed away. There's only 60 of them there. Carl Diorio's best, race 4, number 3, Sawaiki, for Lloyd Kennywell. Stormed home over the top of them fresh, and might have just been a touch flat second up. And Carl's value bet, which is also Daniel Borg's value bet, is race 7, number 7, Game of War. Although not great value in your winning post, despite the first up duck egg, is only $3.50. So widely expected to bounce back for Lloyd Kennywell. Ascot is the venue, as usual, for Perth racing on Saturday. BJ Ryan, very, very keen on G Boss, which is race 8, number 5, the horse, not the jockey. Been lying low since making national headlines when copping one of the baddest beats you'll see down the straight 1000 at Pinjarra, Joel. Can you fill me in on that? I must have been in Hawaii at the time. National headlines.
Well, yeah, not quite, but Twitter went into meltdown. You know, heavily backed favourite, apprentice jockey, held up everywhere she tried to find a run. I think the senior jockeys didn't do her any favours, though. They really held her in the pocket, and yeah, should have won. But I think going to be well found on Saturday.
Yes, indeed. Well, we've got it marked at $3, but yeah, could if you do happen to see that anywhere, probably snap it up. And BJ's value bet, race 1, number 11, Streak Away for near the Parnhams, Neville and Steve, marked around about $6, resuming in race 1. BJ does expect there to be a short price favourite there in Rebo, but coming off a 29-day break, just thought Streak Away might be able to get away with that. First up at 1,400 metres, that's race 1, number 11, at Ascot. Earlier in the day, they are racing in Auckland and Wellington at Ellerslie and Trentham.
Yeah, it's Crack-A-Million Day at Ellerslie, so they've just changed their program. Used to be a Sunday meeting, but now running on a Saturday, and they've pushed it back to a twilight card leading into the sales. Hugh Bowman has gone across to ride. I think he might have close to a full book, certainly three or four rides, riding in all the big ones. The main race, the Crack-A-Million two-year-old affair, no firm opinion from me, but I've gone with number 5, Sword of Osman, who's by Savabeel and just looked a bit special winning first start. So I've gone with him to beat number 8, Avantage. Tiak, our racing stablemate, Opie Boson, has picked her. She's 3 from 3. Clearly hard to beat. 9, She's a Thief, and 4, Nirvana in Fire Next Best. My best for the card is Living on a Prayer, race 5, number 10. This daughter of Redwood just continues to get better and better. She's lightly raced. She's going for a hat trick. Steps up to Group 2 company. It's her toughest test, but she loves Ellerslie, and I think she can measure up. And my value bet's in the first, race 1, number 6, Aster. Talented filly, lacks probably the fitness edge on some of her key rivals here, but she's trialled well, and if she can just settle in running, she tends to want to do a bit wrong, but if she can settle and get a good run, she can measure up. Trentham, my best is Bring to the Block, race 6, number 8, last start winner, and I think not too much tougher this race, stays down in the weights, can go on with the job, and my value is Original Gangster, race 5, number 7. He's got a good draw and out to the mile. Can see him improve. 2 runs to date haven't been too bad.
All right, well, that wraps up a big Saturday of racing around Australasia. There is a listed race on Sunday. It's in Hobart. Kevin Sharkey, Hobart Guineas, race 6, worth 100,000. This one's over 2,100. I thought that number 5, WT, for John Blacker and Jason Maskiel could turn the tables on number 2, Overplay, from the Tasmanian Guineas with the step up in distance to 2,100 metres. And I included and am very wary of the two Victorian last start winners who are going over for this. That's number 4, Wolfendale, for Darren Weir, and number 1, Cavaliero, for Shay Eden. 5, 2, 4, and 1. Your best $20 bet, Joel, of Australia Day weekend.
I'm going to go with the newcomer in the Diamond Preview, Pure Elation. I think she's very smart and will be very hard to beat. Race 3, number 10 at Caulfield.
All right, well, I will go with Morton's Fork, which is race 9, number 4 at Caulfield. Have a great Australia Day weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. Don't forget to pick up your winning post, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.